Well, Jackie Road is just a place where we can have some fun. Well, I'm having fun at Jackie Road, doing cool interviews and writing songs.
Hey, this is Jack Post, and you're listening to the Jackie Road Studios podcast. This is last week's song in full, featuring Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World. It's called Hardly, featuring Jim Adkins.
On the album, would everybody welcome from Jimmy Eat World, Mr. Jim Adkins? But hold your applause, we got a little problem. I thought that he'd be jamming on the guitar, or he'd be singing la da di da, but no. I'm joking, but the only thing that Jim is bringing in to this song is a 24-inch gong.
Hit it, Jim.
Oh, that's Jim Adkins on the gong. That's Jim Adkins on the gong, and this song is hardly featuring Jimmy.
Whew, a gong, hey? 24 inch, big. No, I'm not upset, no. That's good.
I was talking to my mum. She said, don't worry, my son. Most bands would give their left arm to have Jimmy Eats the World play a gong on their song. I said, God damn it, Mum. They're just called Jimmy Eat World. Come on. Look, I don't mean to sound cruel, but Mum, you don't know what's cool. And gongs aren't cool. Deal, Jim Adkins on the gong. Yeah, so what? It's the guy who wrote the middle playing on the gong. No, don't take me seriously. I love you, Jimmy.
Well, I might as well embrace it. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's no other song in the world
where the singer of Jimmy Eat World bongs on a gong on a song. Come along for the ride, 'cause it's a beautiful day outside. So what if he only plays the gong? Ah, come on, Jimmy, show him how it fucking sounds.
That song is titled Hardly, featuring Jim Adkins, written and performed by Jack Post, the performer of this podcast. Also got Kai on drums and Feff, the magical mixer that is Feff, on additional guitars as well. And I'll get into the making of that song in a second, but I want to thank everybody who listened to the Bump in the Road episode last week. Loyal fans of the show will continue to listen to episodes even if they don't offer a guest, even if they don't offer a song, even if they don't offer the chance to win the world's fastest guitar. And I was surprised to see there was hardly a drop-off at all in the number of downloads last week. So that is, I gotta be honest, It's both good and bad. The good side is, well, you guys are loyal. And even if I don't have my best week and I don't offer a song, you're still there to nurture me, make sure I'm being heard and that I'm listened to and I'm relevant. On the bad side, it means I don't have to do any freaking work and you still listen. And I've been doing all this bloody work, making the songs, and it really doesn't matter if I make a song or not, or if I get a guest or not. I can literally come in here and play the Toad song. Let me play for those of you who didn't last week. This was, do I still have it? Surely I do, the Bump in the Road song.
It's a Bump in the Road episode. Well, nobody really knows how it goes. We've never been here before, but I'm sure we'll find our way around if you hear the sound of a toad. That just means the show's not dead if you hear the sound of a toad. We've just hit a bump in the road.
Now that took me probably half an hour to an hour. All around, from literally 0 to 100% done. 45 minutes, maybe. The songs, the full songs in the episode, for whatever reason, I started like trying to jump the bar each week and make it better than the week before. And now they're taking me like hours and hours and hours and hours. Just ridiculous hours to make. And ridiculous stress and time put into it and no fun had at the start of the process when I'm looking at a blank page and thinking, oh, I got to jump the bar from the previous week. But does it really matter? So I had this existential crisis this week about the podcast. Like, you guys are showing up anyway. If it's just a dumb song about a toad that takes 30 minutes, rather than if it's a highly crafted song about not being friends with Amy Shark. Hey. Am I putting too much work in? Do you guys really care that much about how polished the songs sound? Hey, yeah. I don't know the answer. I'm vibing with you. I'm vibing with you here. Let's jump into the making of this song, then come back. We'll let this digest a little bit on the future of the podcast. The future of the podcast, to say like I'm going to pull the pin on it. It's not going to die. But do we move into an area that is kinder for all parties involved, mostly my party, where I don't try as hard. This is purposeful space for thinking. And without further ado, how I made this week's song. And it did take me ages.
How did he make it? How did he make it? How did he make it? Oh, he's gonna tell you.
People who listened to the Bump in the Road episode last week will know that there is a graveyard of half-started Jim Adkins songs from the week where I just couldn't bring anything together. I had about 5 false starts of different types of Jim Adkins songs, and I won't today go back through those again. I'll start where we started with this iteration of where the song got to, called Hardly featuring Jim Adkins. First, I'll take you back to the email that I got from Jim post the interview. So Jim Adkins from Jim Eat World, very lovely guy to interview. I mentioned in previous episodes that he was so cool about, like, he was going to change the frame rate of his GoPro to suit Australian standards. And after the interview, he even followed up to ask if the compressed audio that he sent me of his side of the interview was too compressed and if I wanted a less compressed version of the audio. So he was very cool about the whole thing and just meticulous. And I reckon even if you've listened to the Jimmy interview, you could tell in the way that he answers questions, like he's just got a very analytical brain, and that's kind of the stuff that I guess interests him, and why, if it interests you as well, his YouTube channel is such a good watch. This is the first thing he sent me after I asked him in the interview if he would lend some sort of thing that he does to the song. So I was hoping he would do some sort of like guitar riff, or like he would be singing, like even if he just gave me like a ooh, and then I would use that, build the song around that. Didn't know if he would do it, but he sent me a big folder, big compressed folder of all the videos. He did two camera angles for the videos and the audio from the interview. And then he said a different folder, separate folder that said, use this for your song. I couldn't believe it. So I double clicked on the folder. And then there's just one audio file labeled surprise with an exclamation mark at the end. So I was like, oh, this gonna be good. And I clicked on it, and this was all that was there. Yeah. It's just a gong. Well, I actually thought it was a cymbal. I said, oh, Jim, thank you for the cymbal. Is that you playing it? Like, I didn't even know if he just chose some sample of like a computer, a loop or something. So he wrote back and he said, no, that is me playing it, but it is a 24-inch gong. Great, I thought to myself. A gong. Jim Radkin can go play a gong on my song. So that is why maybe I had trouble last week trying to figure out how to use this in a song. Because as well, a gong is not a very friendly instrument to like tie into other instruments. When I started, you know, I will play a little bit of some stuff last week. So if for those who didn't hear the Bump in the Road episode, I started with like a rap version. So I could rap over this. And then let me play the gong with this. You know, not terrible, but not very cool. I wasn't really getting inspired by the gong. But pretend that I did love the gong from the very start. And let's find the very first iteration of what the song became. So this is a guitar riff that I came up with while I was just like noodling around before I really knew what this song was going to be. All right, and then that big hold on one chord, this is what I had in mind of that. I should have pulled this up earlier, but I'll just find it. Slip Away by Perfume Genius is a great song, and this is from, God, I found out about this song from the movie Booksmart. Best movie that came out last year. If you haven't seen it, I really recommend it. This is a song called Slip Away by an artist called Perfume Genius. Don't hold back, I wanna break free, cause it's singing through your body, and I'm carried by the sound. All right, let me just jump in a bit. Love will never break the shape we take. All right, so this big hold on one chord, this is what I was picturing coming in right here. So that's what I was going for here. Da, 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 da. I mean, it sounds pretty weak on acoustic guitar. But then it explodes into this with all the bass and guitar and the drums in there.
not a feature on the album.
Cool. So I actually don't have much of this, like the sketchbook stuff that I usually have in voice notes. I didn't put anything in voice memos for this iteration of the song, and I can't remember why that was. I think, God, maybe I was traumatized by how hard it was for me to write this song the first week and the first time around, that I just did it differently. I came straight into Logic with this. I'd formed it up on the acoustic guitar, and I knew what I was trying to do, and I knew, even though I changed the lyrics slightly, I knew the kind of lyrical content I wanted in there.
Would everybody welcome from Jimmy Eat World, Mr. Jim Adkins. But hold your applause.
Now, my wife, Bianca, is very excited to feature for the very first time on any of the songs. She makes up some of this crowd.
Mr. Jim Adkins. But hold your applause.
All right, I'm just isolating all the parts that made up that applause bit, which is just literally Bianca and I going through one by one. Well, first it just started as me clapping on my own. I mean, it sounds super lame like this, but I would just stand in different parts of the room and clap over and over again. There's got to be like close to 40 tracks here. And then every now and again, I would do something different, like whistle. Or clap loud. And then I thought it was too lame to just have me in there, so let me scroll down. I mean, there's so many tracks here, and find some of Bianca getting involved. And then she maybe did 10 tracks at different points in the room. And then all together it sounds like this. And then for the rest of the rest of the track, it sounds like this.
From Jimmy Eat World, Mr. Jim Adkins. But hold your applause.
Cool. So the story is just obviously like getting excited about Jim featuring on the song, and then, oh wait, it's not the feature you think it's going to be, guys.
We got a little problem. I thought that he'd be jamming on the guitar. Or it'd be singing la-da-dee-da.
So that's a nice little touch, I thought. I said he's going to be jamming on the guitar, and we hear guitar.
I thought that he'd be jamming on the guitar. Or it'd be singing la-da-dee-da.
And then you got those little backing vocals in there, which is Feff, I've mentioned before on the show, but he came to me through Kai, who's a listener of the show, who's a great drummer and drums on this song. Kai's friend is Feff, and he does mixes and plays guitar in bands, and now he helps me do the final mix on the songs as well. And this is him actually doing backup vocals for this part.
Or it'd be singing la-da-dee-da.
Or just on his own, sounds like this.
Or he'd be singing la-da-dee-da.
Backing vocals sound so weird on their own, don't they?
Or he'd be singing la-da-dee-da.
All together.
Or he'd be singing la-da-dee-da. But no.
So that big build-up again, I just kept calling the slip-away build-up, reminiscent of this part in the Perfume Genius song. The Jackie Road one.
You'll think I'm joking, but the only thing the gym is bringing in to this song is a 24-inch gong.
Cool. I'm just going to stop there and talk. For people who aren't super into music, apologies for this bit, but I wanted to press down on just one chord that is in this chord progression. It's the first time that I've used like a non-standard chord, I guess. It is this that what becomes the chord at the end of this little bit.
Jim is bringing in to this song
is a 24
this one.
Gong.
So that is a B major with a D sharp as the bass note. And where I got this chord from is... I mentioned stealing NoFX stuff so often, but from a NoFX song called Clams Have Feelings Too. So it's hard to pick up at that second chord in there. Here. I mean, that's too hard to pick up. Let me just grab my guitar. So this is a B major chord. B and the rest. a real musical person would have like broken down the other notes in there. Let me do it. B, F sharp, B. What are you, little boy? See, I actually don't know my music theory that well. That is D sharp is a normal B major chord, and then this chord is with the D flat on the root note. So I don't really know what that's called except calling a B major with a D sharp on the root note. But that NoFX song goes just A major into that weird chord into a D major. I mean, it's hard to hear with all the distortion and stuff on it, but that's this chord that I'm using at the end of this phrase here.
Jim is bringing in to this song is a 24-inch gong.
So I use it at the end of the choruses as well, but yeah. The Jim is bringing in C major to this song. Weird chord is a 24-inch gong. D sharp, F sharp, B, D sharp. Use it in your songs.
Kim is bringing in to this song is a 24-inch gong.
Hit it, Jim. Cool, let me bring the gongs in. I can't believe I've cut Jim out of the song.
A 24-inch gong.
Hit it, Jim. So that was my best way to feature the gong in the end. I thought, don't put it over the music, don't have it compete with the music, but just stop the music and play the gong.
24-inch gong.
Hit it, Jim. And then the idea is the chorus comes back and it's really, really big. And I love that just one snare hit from Kai. Before we get into the chorus, these are the drums isolated. So that, listen out for that snare hit.
24-inch gong.
Hit it, Jim. Love that a lot. So this is the guitars isolated for this bit. I can break down what that is doing. So it's a G major, and it's just isolating a few notes inside the G major chord at once. So it's always got the G root note, and then the first extra note that it's featuring is the third. I'm trying to go through my own poor music theory here as I think about it. The third, which is the B. And then the second one is, the root note, but just at a higher position, which is the G. And then the third one is the fifth, the D. And then the seventh, which is la da 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 F sharp. And then as it moves to the E minor chord, it just hits the root of the E minor. And so all together with the drums and everything sounds like this. So the bass on its own is just chugging on that root note, G, 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 and the E. And then the guitars is doing... everything together. Cool. So the end of that phrase is using that interesting chord again. The D, the B major with the D sharp root note. If anyone knows the true name of that chord, please tell me in an email. Let's hear it with all the vocals in there.
Oh, that's Jim Adkins on the go.
So I just pull out Hafef's backing vocals again there.
Oh, that's Jim Adkins on the gong.
And then with my vocals.
Oh, that's Jim Adkins on the gong. That's Jim Adkins on the gong. And this song is hardly featuring Jimmy.
Cool. So I really love what those harmonies can do for the main vocal. And thank you to Feff for doing those. I do still want to get other people involved. It's my fault because I waste so much time getting to the end of the weekend before getting the song to a stage where people could realistically sing backing vocals and add to it. I've already run out of time and it's Saturday night and it's... it just has to be done. And Feff, because Feff's working on the song anyway, and because he does those sort of vocals is why Feff is doing them this time around. But I still really want to, for people who've written in and said they would love to do backing vocals on the song, I really still want to get people involved. Let's go into the next verse.
Featuring Jimmy.
Also, I hope everybody gets the little joke of the song. The song is called Hardly, featuring Jim Adkins. Very clever. He's the feature on the song, but it also hardly features him.
Featuring Jimmy.
Whew, a gong, hey? 24 inch. Big. No, I'm not upset. No. That's good.
I was talking to my mum.
So that was just without me speaking over the top of it, just repeating that intro guitar riff on the acoustic guitar. And that is... all right, this is a throwback for anybody who listened to the band I was in with Radio Mike. We had a song about falling in love with a puppet called Attached to String. It sounded like this. Oh, geez, I actually forget how to play it. So I often come up, and then this line is, it's not the same, but like, I mean, I guess it's not crazy different. I mean, I like that, like, it's just, I guess, alternating straight up on the eighth notes, alternating between the bass note and the higher notes. If I break it down slowly, hear the bass note, then you'll hear the high note, bass note, high note, and the high note changes. And it's the same in the attached to string. Yeah, so maybe I did copy myself a little bit, because it's now that I play that back-to-back, it's pretty similar.
I was talking to my mum. She said, don't worry, my son.
Again, that's Feff on the backing vocals. I'll just isolate them.
Talking to my mum. Don't worry, my son.
And he's got... What he's doing is the high part on the left ear.
Talking to my mum.
The low part on the right.
Talking to my mum.
And then together.
Don't worry, my son.
And then with me, sounds like this.
I was talking to my mum. She said, don't worry, my son. Most bands would give their left arm to have Jimmy Eats the World play a gong on their song. I said, God damn it, mum.
Cool, I love that bit, the God damn it, mum bit. So that's just the guitar and drums. Guitar's completely palm muted there, and then it opens up a little bit and adds the bass in. That's the bass there. Cool, so that transition again.
It's the world, play a gong on their song. I said, God damn it, mum. They're just called Jimmy Eat World. Come on.
By the way, this is a true story that my mum did call them Jimmy. How'd your interview go with Jimmy Eats the World?
Most bands would give their left arm to have Jimmy Eats the World play a gong on their song. I said, God damn it, mum. They're just called Jimmy Eat World. Come on. Look, I don't mean to sound cruel, but mum, you don't know what's cool. And gongs aren't cool.
Cool, so back to the chorus. And the other thing I didn't show you in the chorus was Feff even provided like these. Harmonies that just sit under the music. So I'll just pull them up a little louder so that you can really hear them in the mix. And with the music. I love that. Really cool. So let me just drop those back down to normal and play what the whole thing sounds like with lead vocals.
Big deal, Jim Adkins on the gong. Yeah, so what? It's the guy who wrote the middle playing on the gong. No, don't take me seriously. I love you, Jimmy.
That same big build-up again.
Well, I might as well embrace it. I mean,
and then a talking part, which I actually had another singing part there, and then I just listened back to it. I was like, ugh, you don't need another. Like, it was just another verse. It didn't really carry the story anywhere else. So that this is where I came up with this talking part.
Well, I might as well embrace it. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's no other song in the world
where the singer of Jimmy Eat World bongs on a gong on a song. Come along.
How's that? Talking into singing. How does he do it? I'll point out something cool here, which is the guitars just move, as they come out of this chorus, move just to the left-hand side. Try and hear that. So that's both sides, and then only on the left.
Well, I might as well embrace it.
That's 100% coming out the left.
Where the singer of Jimmy Eat World bongs on a
and back to center.
Song, come along for the ride. 'Cause it's a beautiful day outside. So what if he only plays the gong?
and everything rings out with the gong ringing out as well. So that's how I made Hardly featuring Jim Adkins. Again, big thanks to Kai, who played drums on the song, and a big thanks to Feff, who added the additional guitars and did the final mix with me, and those great backing vocals as well. And of course, a big thank you to Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World for providing the gong. Let it ring out all the way. It's done. It's time to read your emails. Read your emails. Thank you to everybody who goes to jackieroadstudios@gmail.com. Well, you can't go there. It's not a web address. It is an email. So you can send emails there. It's easy. All you have to do is go into your email client, click in the little to section. Well, you first have to click on compose new email, click in the little to section, write jackieroadstudios@gmail.com. Then you fill out the body of the email with things you want to tell me. Then you press send. And then that should pop up in my email client as a message received. And I can read it on the show, reply to it, do all kinds of things. JackieRoadStudios@gmail.com is the place to do that. Oh, the stickers went out as well. Thank you to everybody who emailed for a sticker off the back of the Bump in the Road episode. Didn't say last week, but they went like hotcakes. By Monday, by Tuesday morning, all the stickers were gone, and that includes 4 stickers overseas. I said I'd do 3 international stickers, foot the bill for 3 internationals, and I ended up doing 4. I think they were about $3 each. So that's, guys, over $12 worth of commitment to the fans of the show. And I was happy to wear the cost because I love you guys. And you don't need to say it back. JackieRoadStudios@gmail.com is where you send me emails. And at the end of the year, well, I'll just pad for while I find the sound effect. You can win the world's fastest guitar. The legends at Yamaha were so kind to give us a full guitar. Well, it would be crap if they gave us bits of a guitar. Assemble parts of your own guitar, thanks to Yamaha. No, they sent us a full working brand new guitar off the rack. Is worth over $1,500. So it's kind of crazy that it just sits in my living room. I really try not to play it. I feel like when one of you guys wins it at the end of the series, I would feel bad if it got to your house and it was obviously a used guitar. I think that would suck a little bit of the fun out of it. So I'm honestly not playing it. I'm not touching it. I'm just looking at it. Though, because it is out of the case, it probably is getting a little dusty. It probably is sadly gathering dust because it's out in the open and I'm not playing it. So today, I'll give a dust down to the world's fastest guitar. All you need to do to go into the draw to win a guitar is send an email to the show. If it gets read out on the show, then you can you'll get a raffle ticket at the end of the series, which is in about November. We will draw a raffle ticket, and it could be your name on it. Very easy to win because only maybe, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 raffle tickets get given out each making of episode. So that's like not that many. One in 50 chance, maybe by the end of it. 1 in 60, 70 chance that you could win a guitar. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's easy. Linda Turco writes. Linda says, oh, I was asking about video games and telling you about Tony Hawk's Skateboarding was my absolute favorite game as a kid. And it really put me onto a whole lot of music that I love. If you haven't yet checked out Kai Smith's YouTube channel, Kai has been a drummer on a bunch of the songs I've done for the series so far. He's an awesome drummer. He has his own YouTube channel, Kai Smith, K-Y-E Smith. He does these drum chronologies. So he'll go back through a band, like choose a band like Green Day, Blink-182, and drum 4 seconds of every one of their songs. Like literally start at the first album, track 1, go through their whole discography. He's going to do that for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. I can't wait for it to come out. So keep a lookout for Kai's drum chronology. I'll share it on Instagram when it comes out. But I really did love those games. So I was asking you, well, what video games put you onto great music? Linda says, Need for Speed Underground is definitely my game. I was playing it in my early teenage years when my music knowledge was mostly given by MTV. I was already starting to get into hip-hop, and the music from the game definitely broadened my musical knowledge and linked me to other genres. It was such a powerful collection of songs. Linda, I'm sorry to say, I'm not super familiar with Need for Speed and the soundtrack. I was more of a Gran Turismo kind of player. And if I remember, what were some of the songs in Gran Turismo? I bet if I've turned it on now, I'm talking about the very first one that you could get on PlayStation, I would be able to sing along with a bunch of those songs. There was like, actually, now you've got me wanting to bring one up. There was one about like being Sweet 16. Bear with me. This is totally something I could do off air, but the Gran Turismo original soundtrack, who is on it? All right, this is called something about Sweet 16. So this is Gran Turismo 1, the real driving simulator. This song is called Feed Us Sweet 16. Let's jump into it a little bit. Get away from me, frog, she said. Like a social disease. Yep, this is exactly what I was remembering. Awesome, awesome. That really brings back great memories for me. Linda says, sorry, Linda, that was a huge deviation from what the story that you were trying to tell. She said, Need for Speed had a powerful collection of songs. I had a great pleasure to listen to the compilation later on when I got my driver's license, but I should have been banned as potential danger when on the road with a smiley face at the end. Yeah, you don't want to evoke memories of driving erratically fast in Need for Speed when you're first on your driver's license by pumping the soundtrack. But if I could go back in time to when I first got my driver's license, I would pump this through the speakers of my Toyota Corona 1985 model. Thank you, Linda, if for nothing else, my own trip down memory lane. I hope other people played the original Gran Turismo as well. Turismo, doesn't matter. Who cares, guys? This is not a gaming channel, for God's sake. It's a podcast. It's my podcast. I can do what I want. Big Day Out was the other thing I was asking about. What was the best like Big Day Out lineup? Because this is my show, guys, and if these things was not nostalgic to me, then it's all I care about, and it's the things I want to talk about. So I was asking, what is the best lineup for a Big Day Out? Nicole wrote in and said she was also at the 2003 Big Day Out. That was my first ever festival, seeing bands like The Vines, Foo Fighters. I remember, actually, I was a really short kid. I'm tall now, but it took me ridiculously late in puberty to hit a growth spurt. And at 15 years old, when I went to this first show with my friends, the Big Day Out 2003, I was a tiny little kid, and my friend put me on his shoulders for the Foo Fighters, you know, like a girl who was going to flash her boobs at Dave Grohl, but I was a 15-year-old kid. Nicole says she went to 2003, but she had a look back at the different years and the different lineups of the Big Day Out since it started in 1992. And she has this to say: 1992 had Nirvana, Get Out, Nirvana, in capital letters. How iconic is that? Yeah, that wasn't, I think the first one was Sydney only. And Nirvana played, but they booked Nirvana. I'm going to butcher this story, but I'm going to tell it how I remember it, and facts don't really matter. They booked Nirvana for, say, like $10,000 before Nevermind came out and completely blew up and they became the biggest band in the world. They had some success. The grunge scene was already taken off in the early 90s in Seattle, but the promoters of the Big Day Out booked Nirvana, and then by the time they got here in that first January of the tour, well, it wasn't even a tour, it was just the Sydney show, the band exploded, became the biggest band in the world, and they had to renegotiate the contract, you know, five times that. So if they got $10,000, then they got $50,000. Don't use those numbers when you read quote this story with your friends. The numbers I made up. But you get the theme of the story. They got really famous. Nirvana played the first one. And you know what? I think the Ramones played as well. The Ramones played one of the Big Day Outs, which is just like... Sorry, I can't type and talk at the same time. Which is just crazy to me. No, they didn't play 92. It was the Violent Femmes who were the headliners. And then Nirvana, as I said, remember my story, became the biggest band in the world. And so they were the co-headliners. Ramones were the co-headliners with Soundgarden in 1994. Wow. That's crazy to me. Now, Ramones is just like a different era, you know, black and white photos to me. So that's crazy that they did the Big Day Out tour. She also says 1997 looked pretty good. Soundgarden, Offspring, and The Prodigy. 2004 had Metallica, Black Eyed Peas, The Darkness, Hoodoo Gurus. But she says, for me, the best lineup from what I can see is 2000. Would have been amazing. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nine Inch Nails, Foo Fighters, Blink 182, and awesome Aussie bands like The Cruel Sea, Spiderbait, Grinspoon, Jebediah, Killing Heidi, and 28 Days. Yeah, I think... Killing Heidi, I wonder if that was their first one. I think Ella Hooper was like, I want to say like teenager, like 15 years old when they played. The quickest way to do this, it feels rude to do so, will just be Ella Hooper age. January 1983. So she would have been 16. Oh, no, I guess maybe turning 17 when she played Big Day Out. But they might have played the year before as well. The other band I love getting mentioned there is 28 Days. Man, I love this band. Let me bring up, what's their song? Rip It Up. Yeah. I haven't listened to this in a long time. 28 Days were a band from Frankston. And they were the first Australian band that I can really remember that like Korn and Limp Bizkit brought in a DJ. It was like kind of punk, heavy, not heavy metal, but you know, punk and metal bands who would bring in a DJ. I gotta say, I really loved that song. You gotta admit, that's a great song. Whether you love 28 Days or not, I can't remember. They had a couple more songs, like "Say What" was another big hit they had. I mean, big hit, like you know, in Australian alternative music. But I had this 28 Days poster that was signed. Well, it had someone had written on it, but I paid $2 for it at my local Voyager, which is you know like a Blockbuster, and. They had maybe, so the Voyager would have poster racks and the set posters would sell like 10 or 15 bucks, but they had these six posters one day when I went in there, 28 Days with signatures on them selling for $2. Like, is that suspicious? Like the signatures actually brought the value of the poster down from the other posters. All posters $10, but because somebody's written on these ones, these are only $2. And then... So I bought it home, and then there was like this, there's this punk and rock magazine called Blunt that I used to get from time to time. And this is like before the internet probably come in, right? Like mid-2000s, but before you like really going on the internet a lot. Early 2000s, let's say 2001, 2002. There's this section in Blunt magazine at the back like where you can buy and sell stuff that you have. It's just simply like put your email address in, say what you have, and someone will email you, and you can agree on the price and the delivery, etc. So I, even though I love 28 Days and I, for a bargain price of $2, had their poster on my wall, the entrepreneur in me thought, well, I could probably sell this in the back of Blunt Magazine, 28 Days poster with signatures for at least $15. So I put it, it's the only first and last time I ever put an ad in any kind of magazine or newspaper. And I remember my email still. It was Talking Goat at Hotmail, or Talking Goat 15 or whatever it was at Hotmail. And I put my email address in there and said, I've got a signed 28 Days poster for $15. Let me know. And I got an email, sold it, agreed on the price and the delivery to this guy, and then didn't think at all about the price of shipping. And the guy posted in the mail $15. I remember an envelope came, didn't say anything. He didn't even put a return address on it. And it was just three $5 notes. So he paid that. And I had to go to my mum and say, like, oh, this guy's paid for this poster. Can we send it to him? But we had to get like a poster tube. And sending a poster tube, I think we actually went into the red by the time we bought the poster tube and sent it to wherever he was in Australia. We actually lost money on the 28 Days signed poster deal. Being an idiot, kid. You live and you learn. All right, what am I doing? I'm wasting so much time. Sorry, Nicole and Linda are going to be the only two emails this week because, we're just going too long. I'll quickly read Matt's. No, I'm going to save Matt's and Cam, both great emails. I'm going to save them for next time we do the making of episode. Guys, thank you for joining us. Next week episode is the comedian Lewis Spears. I really love Lewis's stuff and his show with Luke Kidgel. They're called Luke and Lewis. Their podcast is on YouTube and everywhere you get podcasts. He's got a huge, huge online following, and I'm really excited to have Lewis in Jackie Road Studios next week. Don't forget to rate and review on iTunes. That's another way you can get a raffle ticket for the world's fastest guitar. Oh, give me a second to get the little sound effect. All you have to do is, if you rate and review on iTunes, you also have to send me an email at jackieroadstudios@gmail.com to tell me that you've done so. Otherwise, I won't know, and I need your email so that if you win the guitar, I can email and say, hey, you've won the guitar, and you tell me your address, and then I go to my mum and go, hey, mum, we've got to send this guy a guitar, and then she figures out the cost of it and realizes that we're in the red for the competition with the world's fastest guitar. That's all we really got time for this week, guys. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. And I really want to say, on reflection of the Bump in the Road episode, I love that you all still came aboard and listened to that episode, even though it wasn't promising anything in terms of guests or songs. Whatever it is, it really made me feel like I'm not a rat on a treadmill here just pumping out songs and interviews for you, that you'll come regardless of what the content is. I'm really thankful of that. As we do every week now on the Making Of episodes, we finish with the Jackie Road outro. Thank you.
Well, Jackie Road, it is now closed until the next episode. So here's an outro for Jackie's show, so Andrew knows that it's the end of the podcast.
Jackie Road Studios is a way of life.